Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
There's a very clear job one for the Georgia offense this season. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday. I hope everybody is having a glorious start to your day. Big show planned. It's Tuesday. We got Dave Bartu coming up, bottom of hour one. We got big guest in hour two. What do we got? Jason Butt coming on from UGASports.com.
Correct.
We're talking something I referenced yesterday, the Jeremy Pruitt time in Athens, among some other things. But, well, Jason Butt, really good writer. And so we'll have Jason on, and then also who? Connor coming on today, everybody?
Yeah, Connor O'Gara going to join us today.
From Saturday Down South, and so it's just going to be a day full of great college football conversation, so I appreciate y'all coming. I said there's a very clear job for the Georgia offense this season, and I had somebody actually email me. Nobody sends emails anymore, all right? It's a tweet because, my gosh, 240 characters, I don't even need that much. But I got an email, and when somebody really wants to drill down, then you get an email. Either they're really angry with you or they really want you to address something on the air. So I got an email from a guy. And there was a link to a video YouTube. And it was cut-ups. And I've talked about these before. Oh, who are you a fan of? Right now, who are you a fan of? Pick a game. Go to YouTube and type, like somebody listening right now, I'm a Kentucky fan. Wasn't it Kentucky, Mississippi State with all the interceptions? And yeah, Kentucky got a good win at home, I think. I think it was at home. Go, like, Google if you're a Wildcats fan, because you always want to look at the fun. At least I do. Go Google Kentucky offense, Mississippi State defense, 2020. Go, you know, I talked about this with when Gus got fired 2 months ago. I said, if you want to know, Auburn, why is Gus getting fired? If you want to know why Gus is getting fired, if you want chapter and verse about how Gus fired himself, I instructed you to go to YouTube, and I said, put in Auburn offense, Missouri defense, 2013. It's the SEC title game. Folks, it looks like something from another planet. It looks like a bunch of like pro players put on Auburn's uniforms and played a college team, at least on offense, and that's all we're – because you get these cut-ups. And there's hundreds – nay, thousands. If you're a Southern, like our one Southern Methodist fan, I bet you can type in Southern Methodist offense, Memphis defense, and have a ball. Well, I'm trying to decide what it is I think about some of the teams on the outside for when the playoffs get expanded, which is not going to be for this year. But what do you think about some of the teams, some of the programs, looking at Cincinnati? And so here I am watching them play clearly their best opponent of the entire year. And remember that this was an undefeated Cincinnati team. Remember that this was a top, what, seven Cincinnati team? And they had gone through their nine games, including a conference championship. They had, I think they only wound up with two games canceled. They were like everybody else, moved them around, but Cincinnati was a heck of an opponent. And a very resourceful quarterback in Desmond Ridder, which was going to kind of keep him in the game. And so Georgia has to come back, and they get a game-winning field goal, 24-21. That's the final. Georgia beats a previously undefeated and really, like I said, well-coached and physical aggressive team. Not as talented as Georgia in virtually every spot on the depth chart, maybe every single one of them. I can't do it off the top of my head, but maybe an advantage at every spot. 24-21 game-winning field goal at all zeros. How did that wind up being the case? Because Cincinnati came up with the simplest approach possible. Let's blitz a lot. Why is it the simplest approach possible? When you listen to the like old school college like coaches call-in shows, what was almost every fan? If you had a bad Saturday on defense, every single caller, coach, why, we need blitz more. Well, we gave up 58. And when you blitz, it kind of, you know, sets up more big plays for him potentially. But when I say there's a very clear job one for Georgia this season, the offense, you have to make it more difficult for the opponent than, hey, let's blitz a lot. And I'm watching the cut up of that bowl game and Cincinnati's approach, folks, the Bearcats, a very good Bearcat team, Cincinnati's approach from the AAC was, here we come. It was straight man coverage almost all day behind an extra rusher or two maybe from Cincinnati. It was a great strategy in that if you were going to kind of just slow play it, Georgia was going to physically pound you. So you had to pinch or slant or you don't like to guess, but guess. And try to heat up the quarterback. It's the equalizer, folks. Get him on his back. Now, that's in any setting. In that setting, with Georgia missing, and I was going to say missing an offensive lineman or two, it was fruit basket turnover on the offensive line. And it was by far, and it was, you could have suspected this. You never know how a kid's going to respond. And that's when we all, next man up or step up or you got to do, you know, that's what we're talking. So you never know how a kid's going to respond. Georgia's offensive line didn't respond real well. And that's understandable. If you've got a freshman or a redshirt freshman or a sophomore who hadn't played very much and you goes, hey, son, go get you some left tackle today. What? Excuse me? So in any setting, Luke Fickell knew can't play it straight. We got to try to heat him up some. Here we come. Blitzing out of the skyboxes. That would have been the right approach versus a full-strength Georgia team or any opponent in the bowl game. When you looked at the specifics of Georgia's offensive line, it was a great strategy. And Cincinnati, against that offensive line that day, maybe not the offensive line against Auburn or the offensive line against whoever throughout the season, but against that offensive line that Georgia had in the bowl game, great strategy, and Cincinnati had the personnel to actually follow through on it to a fairly high degree. Cincinnati from the AAC. A very good Cincinnati from an above-average ACC. Not acceptable. You're Georgia. You got the Bearcats looking at you from across the line of scrimmage. Go, we ain't backing up. Oh, really? All right. Well, here's Aeneas Smith. Is that the kid's name? Or is it Arian Smith? It's Arian. Here's George Pickens. Here's Kiers. And it would never happen. Not until late. That's, a very well-coached, even with some of the sit-outs from the bowl game, there were a lot of upperclassmen. In the regular depth chart, I think there were 8 or 9 seniors that started for Cincinnati. And even in the bowl game, they might have had 6. Folks, who has 6 seniors? If you're not a playoff game, who's got 6 seniors starting in a bowl game on defense, on one side of the ball? Cincinnati did. And they're like, here we come. And it worked. I'll put it this way. Any team from the AAC any year versus, I'll say, a good team from the SEC, because we know there's that Vanderbilt exists. Barton, I apologize. But so any team from the AAC, if you play a team, a good opponent, and Georgia was a great opponent, from the Southeastern Conference and you hold them to 24, I dust off my hands and say, I'll take it. I will take it. You hold an opponent to 24, that means it wasn't the defense that led to you losing. You scored 21. Now you can win with 21 in college football. Not often, but you can win with 21. you can win almost all the time by, quote, only giving up 24, especially when you enter the game as an undefeated 9-0 Cincinnati team from the AAC. So, yes, they were a really good team at the level that they play, and they figured it out against Georgia. Now, the upside is, well, the opener, gosh, we got Clemson. Yeah, and you're going to have a better offensive line in the opener as well. And I don't know if it's a more regular offseason with a full spring and a game and all the summer work. I don't know what it's going to be, but your offensive line will be better than they were against Cincinnati. But you have to come up with a way for the simplest strategy possible to not work. And throughout the game in the bowl, that's exactly what it was.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
You get in a routine that you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you go to bed at midnight or 1 o'clock, and you do that for 30 years, and all of a sudden your alarm clock doesn't go off on a Monday. The first week was a little bit awkward. It was really good. Probably after that first week, it was more of a chance just to kind of reflect on the whole career.
That's Gus Malzahn talking to the – I'm sorry – that's Gus Malzahn after he was knighted. Dan, did you see the video?
I did.
Gus was knighted by the guy. You have two choices, okay? You have two choices when you have a mascot, like a person, like a we got a pirate, or, you know, what is it, UTEP, Petey the Prospector, or Pickaxe Pete. If you have a person, you can either just have like a regular-looking person with – you know, clothes and makeup on or whatever they are. Or you can have somebody with a giant big plastic head. They've got a giant big plastic golden knight. And Gus got down on one knee and the knight touched him on the shoulder with the giant plastic sword. And Gus is a knight.
And it is mascot dubbed Nitro, who also has a motorized car that was built by UCF engineering students been called Chariot 2.
I'm sure all of that's true. Gus got knighted at a press conference. And then someone asked Gus Malzahn, where had he – oh, yeah, Auburn for 8 years. Andy Staples tweeted this out, so it's true. Someone asked Gus, given the recent history of success at UCF, are you aware of the coaching pressure cooker you're in now? He just coached at Auburn for 8 years in the SEC, in the West – in Alabama, all right? Let's say they were – Alabama and Auburn are independents. They don't even have to play. He coached across the state from Nick Saban for 8 years, so I think he can handle the pressure cooker that is Orlando, not to denigrate that job at all, because it's a really – it's an outstanding job, actually. I didn't say really good. It's an outstanding job. You can get paid, and you can win. Jim Donnan – it's been long enough, and I'm sure he's talked about this anyway. Yeah, he's probably talked about it. When Georgia fired him, he had just turned down like $5 million from North Carolina because I'm going to stay at Georgia, and then he got fired like 9 months later. Well, obviously that didn't sit well with an individual, and Kentucky was the school that came calling. And if I looked at the timeline, I could figure it. I guess it would have been after the Hal Mumme thing maybe, and instead I guess they would have hired Guy Morris. But they lowballed him, and it was still a good salary because he's going to be a head coach in the SEC. But they figured, well, we want Jim Donnan, you know, better offense and all that. We're going to, you know, pay you a little less. because you don't have any other offers. You're on TV right now. And I remember Coach Donnan said to me, and he was being candid, he's like, I can't win at Kentucky. He said, but he was saying just in general, I don't think you can win at Kentucky. Folks, Guy Morris played there. He left Kentucky for Baylor. All right? So that's what the Kentucky program was in the, you know, coming off the Howe Mummy thing with NCAA and whatever else. So at least that's what, it, you know, you were thinking it may turn into. That's not UCF, folks. You can recruit. You got money. You have a practically, I'll say, a new stadium. I think they cut the ribbon in 07. And it's not outdated. Or it's a nice little crib. So it's a really good situation for him. What is his salary? He signed a five-year deal worth a total of $11.5 million. He's getting $2.5 million a year from UCF. And I can't remember. I'd asked somebody about offset language in the Auburn contract, but I don't know about that. But there will be a protracted, very public, for instance, and I'll just spin the wheel and pick one of the many, like Arkansas and Brett Bielema. You're not looking for a job. We're not paying you. I am, too, looking for a job. Well, how many jobs are in Panama City on the golf course? Screw you. That's the whole Bielema, Arkansas, or like, because you have to try to get a job. And like Gene Chizik, I think he had that. You got to try to get a job. And so Gus has got a job now. And he says it's just kind of what you do. And I'd ask, I forget who we talked about. Maybe it was JG. We talked to JG after, and he's like, yeah, I expect Gus to work because he's just one of those guys. That's where his brain is 100% of the time. So Gus Malzahn down in Orlando. He has been knighted. Sir Gus, Gustav. Dan Matthews, how are you?
Yeah, he actually had said that yesterday, that he was prepared to go into TV. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I read this right. Brandon Marcello, I think, had that out there. There's a reason why Jimmy Sexton is in such high demand in the coaching profession. And Gus Malzahn is a true reflection of that. Because, Chuck, kidding. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think he gets much, if any, of that buyout taken away from Auburn with taking this job. So, I mean, it's not only getting this money, he's getting that money as well. So who wins at the end of the day?
Actually,
if you're Gus Malzahn?
I'm trying to think here because he still had 4 years remaining on his contract. And so on the first 4 years of this deal, it will wind up being exactly $9 million. So if you add the 9 to the 21, over the next 4 years, he'll make an additional $2 million than if he was still at Auburn as the head coach.
Man, it is good to be some people, isn't it? Yep. And he is one of them.
Oh, wait, an additional $2 million.
Yeah, go I was going to say, I'll go ahead and take that pain, that's for sure, of losing a job in that case. You know, one thing that he said yesterday was, if you'll remember about a month ago, I took Jimbo Fisher to task about, oh, we got to expand the playoffs, we got to do all this. And I said, a guy in your position should not be saying we need to expand the playoffs. A guy in your position should be saying we need to beat Alabama in order to get to the playoffs. Don't try to bend the rules and fix the rules just because it doesn't work out for you right now. Tell your guys that, no, our path to the playoffs is going through Tuscaloosa. Ed Orgeron did that for the longest time. He knew how to get to the playoffs, but he also knew that the true path to get there was going into Bryant-Denny Stadium and winning that game. I liked that Gus Malzahn said something like he said yesterday, where he talked about how to get into the playoffs and, you know, oh yeah, hey, it is kind of flattering to think that maybe I can be somebody that can get this program into the discussion for the Final Four. But the other part of it as well is him saying, here's the deal. We got to play a top 10 team, and we got to beat said top 10 teams. And Chuck, part of that is already starting to work out, because I don't know if you saw earlier today, USF, not UCF, USF announcing a series of 2022 and 23 with BYU. Now, will BYU be a top 10 opponent by then? I don't know, but there is still a thought that they're going to be a good opponent by then. Words like that is going to start getting ADs right now and coaches in offices of ADs this morning saying, hey, coach, yeah, you know what? He's right. We got to start doing this.
Absolutely. Coming up in, oh gosh, what do we have? About another 3 years, or actually 4 years, is when the next round of contracts comes up for the expansion of the playoffs, and everybody's trying to beef up that schedule strength, no doubt.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
It's a Bartu Day on the Chuck Oliver Show. You know what it is. Bottom of hour one on Tuesdays, Dave Bartu. Used to say, from College Football Matrix. He is College Football Matrix. He is a consultant to coaches, ADs, football ops, agents, players looking for a new program. When you have some excellence, when you have built a better mousetrap, you know, you get homeowners and businesses that want it. And so it's both sides of the aisle now, and it's just a tremendous service evaluating what the situation is now, what you're stepping into, what a program will be stepping into with a certain hire. It's unbelievably valuable and timely. My goodness gracious, with the transfer portal. I want to welcome on now, again, he is College Football Matrix. It's Dave Bartu. Dave, how are you on this day?
Dude, I am doing great. Just watching a little bit of snow melt in the backyard this week. But actually, interesting you bring up transfer portal. The word of the week is punters.
Do tell.
Well, you know, was working with a couple of the clients, actually talking to special teams coaches, and we were trying to figure out how to better evaluate the punting game. You know, there's a lot of hidden missed yards in there. And kind of got to work on it and came up with a metric I think it kind of defines how good the punt is and the coverage game is with percentage of punt yards available. Okay, so if you're kicking from, let's say, minus side of the field, you're kicking from the 30, so you have 70 punt yards available. How many did you get? Not just the net, it's not the net yardage, It is the yards available, you know. So in this way, we can go in, let's say the transfer portal. Now I can apply this to anybody that goes in the transfer portal that's a punter. I can tell you who the most accurate guy is from 60 yards in. I can tell you who has the most accurate big leg. You know, we can look at fair catches, down punt percentage. You can see how high the guy is kicking without even watching the game because you can look at the fair catch percentage. It is just absolutely just fun to go through and break down these little things to try to find an edge.
And I'm listening to you, I had like four different times I was going to say, well, what about? And like you cover the context of it. And then also I assume in something like this, you would have a hard time evaluating the Bama punter. You need some. It strikes me in particular for this because there is so much context about who was the return guy, the coverage, whatever, that it's really valuable to have maybe a bigger sample size.
Right, you know, just in 1 year, but like you said, though, with the Alabama punter, okay, you know, what this tries to do is it takes away some of the straight numbers, okay, because everybody always looks at gross and net. For the most part, punting is all about the gross and net
yep.
yards. But what that doesn't do, it doesn't allow you to gauge the accuracy, let's say, of the kicker, okay, or the quality of the offense. You know, because with Alabama, you have a high quality offense. How many times is the punter really kicking from 65 plus yards away?
Oh no,
from the.
He's catching it at midfield and trying to get it inside the 10. He's trying to have like for him, if he has a net 29-yard punt, sometimes that's exactly what Nick Saban wants.
Okay. So let's actually see how good Alabama was punting from 60 on in. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's because if you take away the team, you start looking at, so if you remove all punts that are outside of 60 yards from the goal line, what was the percentage of yards that they really got? And I'm actually kind of delaying this, scrolling through. Jesus, where is Alabama on my spreadsheet?
Probably at the top.
No. Alabama, in terms of... Oh, dude, I am so glad you brought this up. Either my numbers are completely off, or Alabama is the ninth worst team inside the 60 at punting.
So
they only got 55% of the available yards when they punted from inside the 60.
See, this is great because I remember asking you about. I've said I want you to make like a personal project of UTEP or UNLV, and you were like, "Oh, dude, mm-hmm. those are the fun programs to work with because there's so much available improvement." And you specifically said, "Like working with Alabama, where are you going to help them improve, Dave?" Punt yards,
exactly. Smack me right upside the head. So literally. When Alabama punted, and it was on the 40 in, we're not talking about yards, okay?
Yeah,
we're
yeah.
talking about percentage of available yards. They only got 55% of them. The worst in the country had 51. Now you go all the way up to the best. The best was Arizona State. Or no, Kent State. Excuse me. No, Arizona State.
Well,
Eastern Michigan. Eastern Michigan had 84.9% of all the available punt yards. Alabama had 55.
Okay,
now
see,
you think, yeah, think where, about that.
Where my yards. Brain goes, Dave, is I want to see yeah. something like, you know, normally the best pass defenses in America are littered with some teams that go 2-10 because the second half nobody tries to throw the ball on them in a very rough general way. I wonder if there is any correlation between somehow the worst teams that have the most opportunities to punt. And you think about it, if you're punting from your own 20-yard line, what do? You boom the hell out of it every single time. So I'm wondering if there's a correlation. If you looked over the standings, better teams actually towards maybe the bottom half and or bottom third, and maybe the worst overall teams populate the top half, top third.
But see, that's why we take it away by eliminating the big kicks. This is everything. Everybody is from the 60-yard in.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. So Eastern Michigan is number one. North Carolina was number two. Florida was number three.
So you take out the hack, then. You even take out the what kind of is the poison in the pool.
Right. Now you want to go the other direction. Let's talk about all kicks in which there are 60-plus yards available, right? Your big boomer kicks. How good that's more of coverage. That is more of a leg of the punter, right? You know, when you're talking about the bigger end of it. Alabama, again, punting percentage, 96 in the country. They only got half the yards available. You know, now, did they punt very much? No.
Dave.
Whole lot of time.
Dave, I want to make two accurate statements, and not even like Bill Clinton accurate, while legally accurate. No, these are real statements. I never thought I would have an 8-minute conversation about punting on the air. Off the air, absolutely. Never thought I'd talk 8 minutes about punting on the air. Never thought I would be intrigued for 8 minutes about punting. Dave, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump back into it with, and I don't know if I'm allowed to ask this or not, but I'm going to do it anyway. Dave sent me a text after last week's show. He may actually have a new line of clients. We'll talk about that next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart. There needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com and then call us for a free in-home consultation.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Tennessee's got a defensive coordinator. Gus Malzahn's hired, and Dave Bartu's got me just enthralled with special teams right now. It is a Tuesday on the Chuck Oliver Show. 9 states, 51 sticks. So I appreciate that blessing. I've been doing this for 6.5 years. Started at the beginning of the 14 season. So I certainly appreciate everybody coming here for your college football talk every single day. Podcast, that's a great way to consume it. Thepodcastpark.com, thepodcastpark.com, or wherever you get your podcast. Just click subscribe. It'll show up every single day. Dave, We were talking punters, and there's actually, I mean, you've got a whole special teams guide, basically, right?
Yeah, it's actually with the numbers that we worked on, you know, what we just talked about, normally it's reserved for clients, but every once in a while I pop something out there for all coaches. So, I mean, if you're listening, if you're a head coach, I don't even care if you're FBS. I got FCS guys that are interested in looking at the numbers just to see where they fall. So if anybody out there that is listening, that's coach, special team coach, anything, you want a copy of this, just shoot me an email, matrixanalyticalsolutions@gmail.com, and specify the special teams punting report, and I will send you a copy of it. We're just trying to get football better. That's it.
Outstanding. Now, I got to ask you about something, because you've told me before that you've been on the show, and then you got a call from an active head coach in the SEC. You told me you've got calls from Board of Trustees, et cetera, about mm-hmm. fundraising and writing contracts and whatever. You told me, you sent me a text message, you said that recently, after either last week or a couple of weeks ago, you got contacted by an agent, correct?
Correct. And it never even crossed my mind, the whole agent side of it, you know. And I know I talked to a lot of the head coaches, I talked to all of them, got agents, but I never thought about the idea that working for an agent, right? Mm-hmm. And but if you think about it, after I talked to this gentleman, and then I went back through my Twitter account and found that I'm followed by agents and search firms all over the place, including one search firm. If you're listening right now, search firm, let me follow you back. Bunch of vultures. I talked to this agent, and it was fascinating because he was asking a bunch of questions and da 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 da. And then I was like, okay, what's your affiliation with this guy? He's like, oh, I'm his agent. Oh, and then I realized
you're strengthening his case.
Right.
You're doing almost like prep work going into the court case. It's almost like you're the jury expert.
You know, there was two things that came from the first conversation. Two things that how my numbers, actually there was three that my numbers could help an agent. Number one, and this is probably the most important one, is helping his top clients, which are the head coaches. The top client is the head coach, period. That's the moneymaker. That's the guy they want doing well. So when I am doing my unit targeting reports, let's say a Tim Banks at Tennessee says, hey, I need a DB coach, I need a unit targeting report. Okay, cool. Here are the top seven guys that we think are available for that brand. But now the agent is interested because he wants his head coach to have an edge. So an agent now can hire us to help his top clients gain edges. That's the first thing. So that was interesting. The second thing is what you just said, selling a client. Okay, I got Chuck Oliver. And what can I do to differentiate Chuck from all these other guys? Well, here's an analytics report on his recruiting changes and his performance changes and everything that he's done that's positive. So now we can help an agent sell. And lastly, is we can take the FCS numbers and target up-and-coming coaches for your higher-end agents to go after the diamonds in the rough before they become known.
You know, that first angle I had not even thought of. It's almost like when an agent in another industry, you know, you sign a promising actor. Well, you send him to a trainer, you send him to a tailor, you send him to get his hair cut. You're doing all these things as his rep to increase the likelihood that he or she is successful. That's the exact same thing the agent who got in touch with you is doing. Continue with Dave Bartu. We do it every Tuesday at CFB Matrix on Twitter. Dave, I got to ask you, Gus Malzahn, just give me your download on that.
Kind of a no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, who's going to be mad with that decision? Nobody. I mean, it's as almost foolproof as Nebraska hiring Scott Frost. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to work out, but nobody can come back and say, well, that was a bad choice. You know, that was a bad hire. There was better risks out there. No, there's not. Not really. You know, there might be better ceilings, but in terms of a guy that has handled the SEC pressure cooker, that has won on the highest level, you know, it's to me, that was just a first phone call and, hey, Gus, do you want to stay retired or not? You know, that probably took, what, 5 minutes?
Yeah, let me ask you, because I opined a couple of, and I don't know any of this, but, you know, I said that the first step where a lot of, you know, observers are is, wow, UCF lost their coach but wound up with a better coach than Tennessee. And then some people even took the leap to, well, gosh, why wouldn't Tennessee pursue Gus? I went the third step. I was like, folks, there's a chance they did. All right, so that's the most humbling part of this for a Vols fan. You got to take it to that final step of, dude, maybe your program did. And Gus is like, yeah, no. But he said yes to UCF.
I think in that situation, I don't know. Okay, let me make it clear. I don't know in this what you're describing. I don't know what happened. But if I am a Tennessee Volunteer fan, I have to assume that Gus Malzahn turned us down. I have to, because I also have to assume that my athletic director, no matter who it is, made that phone call. Even if I knew there was a 99.999% chance he's going to say no, he's on the market. You're making the phone call. So I don't think there's any question that you have got to assume that the call was made and he said no. And that's cool. You know, there's a lot of variables with Tennessee in terms of we don't know what's coming down the pipe from restrictions, recruiting, NCAA, et cetera. You know, so, but yeah, I mean, you have a free agent like Gus, you have got to assume everybody gave that guy a phone call that had an open offensive coordinator or head coach position in the last month.
Especially when you know he'd probably be working for cheap-ish. Because of the buy. I mean, they got him for $2.5 million a year. Auburn was paying $7 million. Wrapping up with Dave Bartu on a Tuesday, you mentioned Tim Banks. What do the Vols have in their new DC?
Don't know really much right now. I mean, he hasn't called plays in 7 years. Last time he called plays, I think, was at Illinois. And then before that, Central Michigan. He had 2 above average years in that period of time. So I think there's some potential there. The obvious concern is the ability to run a defense that's going to face 75, 80, 85 plays a game, because that's what the Heupel offense does. You know, so right now I haven't looked at the overall grade for him. I think this comes back to the same thing with the head coach. How many guys did they ask? You know, how many guys did they go through to finally find somebody? So I think you're getting a average, maybe below average defensive coordinator. You're getting a average recruiter. The defensive back unit at Penn State was the fifth best unit recruiting that they had over the last 4 years. So I think a lot of Tennessee right now is, it's hard to grade some of these guys because we don't know who's turning it down because what's coming down the pipe in the future.
Yeah, give me, and you're right about that, two more Tennessee hires, Rodney Garner on the defensive line, Jerry Mack, from who'd been OC at Rice, but we've seen, I mean, it's better to be a position coach in the SEC, I guess. And so Jerry Mack coming over.
Yeah, the Gardner one doesn't surprise. Jerry Mack, don't know much about him at all. Didn't look at his profile, so I got nothing there. Gardner was actually the guy that I circled for that job when it came open, when they let Pruitt go, and I broke down each of the units. I felt that was the best available guy. SEC experience, that was the best recruited unit at Auburn, so I think you're getting a phenomenal recruiter. The defensive line unit performed well. Younger guy, I just like everything, about that hire. We'll have to see what he does in terms of a mix of veterans and younger guys in the secondary. Mm-hmm. Because that's, I think, the last two places he has to go to finish out the defense. And there's a lot of guys, really good guys available. I'm curious to see what they fill that with. You know, as far as running back coach goes, on Mac, like I said, don't know anything about the guy. But that is a guy that I want to be a top-flight recruiter. I don't really care about his ability to, quote-unquote, coach running back.
Absolutely, you know? Agree. Absolutely. That's Kevin Falk. That's Cadillac. That's where you put the alum who the kids still know. Absolutely agree. Run to daylight, kid. That's my, get to the pylon. I want to wrap up with you with, maybe this is a little close to your heart. Tyler Shuck has decided that he has had enough of the quack attack, and he is in the portal. We have talked about, and I mentioned it today, about players. It's a new avenue for you. If you were going to represent Shuck or represent him to a school, just give us an overview. What do you think that he has to pitch to a new program? We got about 60 seconds left, so just give us a flyover.
I don't know if it's about pitching to a new program. I think it's really about his ability to stick. Okay, so with quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, I always say go closer to home. Okay, the farther you are away, the more likely you're going to suffer from attrition and not do well. So he's an Arizona kid. I would be taking a strong look at getting back into that southwest area of the country. And it doesn't have to – I mean, if you have NFL dreams, dude, it does not have to be at a Power 5 team. You can be at a G5 team as well. Just elevate the team no matter where you go. But I think for him, get closer to home. That's where I always start with those outside guys, quarterback, running back, wide receiver.
Yeah, and that's what, I was actually, funny you said that. I was talking about Jake Bentley yesterday going, quote, home to Alabama. He's playing at South Alabama for his sixth and final season. And I was like, just get a comfort zone, man. Just wait. It wasn't right at Utah. It didn't really work, in the end at South Carolina. It's exactly what you're talking about. Dave, tremendous stuff. If there is anyone, because I don't think I do this because I was like, well, anybody who would need to get in touch with Dave, they can figure it out. If it is a coach, if it is an AD, a board of regents, whoever wants to get in touch with you, give us a contact for those people.
Twitter? Well, you got the Twitter, you have the Gmail I just gave you, the Matrix Analytical Solutions, but straight up, my phone number, call me. You got a pen, you got a pencil, 503-504-8710. I ain't shy, hit me.
Boom, Dave Bartu. Love you, brother. Do it again in 7 days, okay?
Take it easy.
All right, Dave Bartu again from College Football Matrix, and it's really exciting to me because it was originally just coaches, and now it is recruiting, it's players, it's really all the elements of what wins.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.